Hello and welcome to the Hymns Podcast. I'm Brad Lindsay, joined by
Daniel Cole.
Daniel Cole, welcome, my brother. Great to be with you again and talking about an unknown hymn to us. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about it today, I was not familiar with this text, and none of us are going to be familiar with this tune. And that's because, why? Actually, why is that, Dan?
Well, this is a new hymn, and when I say new hymn, it's not just an unfamiliar hymn, but it's been recently commissioned as part of the 225th anniversary of the church. We had discussed the idea of commissioning a new hymn, in a sense, to serve as a partner hymn to Saints of Zion. As you know, Saints of Zion is a hymn that we sing usually when we are welcoming new members mm-hmm. into the church. So, and it is very much our church hymn, I think. We could safely call it that. And that hymn was commissioned for the bicentennial about 27 years ago.
Around that time.
Is that right?
Yes.
So when thinking about what would be a good hymn that we could serve as a companion hymn or sister hymn maybe to our church hymn, the thought came that maybe we could do a communion hymn and commission a hymn that we could sing a little bit more regularly as we celebrate Lord's Supper together.
So talk about the process of commissioning a hymn a little mm-hmm. bit and how this text was found and how mm-hmm. you located the composer.
Yeah. Well, you generally think about composers who you would like to work with, whose music you've done or you really appreciate. And, you know, you reach out to several composers. You don't just kind of shoot for one because sometimes they don't have the time to actually fulfill commissions within a couple of years even. It's like hiring a contractor. In this case, our choir had sung an anthem by Josh Batter that actually Thomas Russell had introduced to me. I think he had sung it at his church when he was in Nashville. We were just talking about anthems and thinking about music to program to schedule, and he introduced this anthem to me, and the name of the anthem is "What God Ordains Is Always Good." It was really well received by the choir, and even more so well received by the congregation. It's just a very well written, well crafted piece, and it's the composer is a man by the name of Joshua Bowder, and at the time when I reached out to him. Really didn't realize this, but he's a Reformed believer. So he knows Dr. Ferguson, he knows Dr. Thomas. We talked about John Piper. So it was good to have a composer who really understood our theology, who understood our focus on the primacy of the word in worship. And it just seemed like a natural fit. So he was the guy we decided to go with.
So you reach out to Josh Bowder mm-hmm. with a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you locate the text, and what led you to send that off to Josh?
As soon as I knew it was going to be a communion hymn, just in doing some reading and some research, I came up across a collection called Communion Hymns by Horatius Bonner. And in this collection, I think there's maybe two dozen hymns. And as I was reading through the hymns, one in particular struck me, which was called The Supper of Thanksgiving. And I think the title itself, you know, for to celebrate an anniversary, to have that theme of Thanksgiving, and then, of course, it being a communion hymn, Supper of Thanksgiving, just seemed to be a good match for what we're doing. But it's also a wonderful text.
So this text, we've talked about Horatius Bonner before. Very recently, mm-hmm. This text was not as familiar to us, but of course the hymn writer is. This text, a couple of the powerful things that are in this text that moved me, and of course the Lord's table is a moving thing for the church to do. It's what we've called to do, of course. 1 Corinthians 11 calls us or reminds us of the Lord's decree to do this. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I think, Dan, one of the things from the text of this hymn that Bonar does well is the part of the Lord's table. So we're doing it now when we do it. It's doing it in the present tense, looking back toward the Lord's death, past tense. But then the other part of that is to look forward to his soon return. And sometimes that part, for me personally, is forgotten in the looking back at his death, as Paul reminds us here, to show the Lord's death until he comes. And this hymn and some of the powerful parts of this hymn pointing us to that future promise. Just as sure as the Lord laid down his life for us, he also will return, and we will spend eternity with him. And some of the words of this hymn do a very good job of pointing that out. I think specifically of the last verse, for the words that tell of home, pointing us beyond the tomb. Do ye this until I come. We give thee thanks, O Lord, for that coming here foreshown, for that day to man unknown, for the glory and the throne. We give thee thanks, O Lord. So that great pointing toward that future moment that is as sure as we are recording the broadcast here.
Yeah. And also, as another thing that Bonar does through the hymn is it's actually instructive as well. And so as he goes, for example, if we look at the third stanza, there's that reminder. He writes, "Only bread and only wine, yet to faith the solemn sign of heavenly and divine, we give thee thanks, O Lord." In another hymn he wrote in the same collection, he writes, "No priestly spell or rite, no word or touch or sign is needed to transform the earthly to divine."
The common elements pointing to a very uncommon event that occurred, of course, Christ's death in our behalf.
Correct.
Another one of the verses that's in here is verse number 2, "For the feast of love and peace, mm-hmm. bidding all our sorrows cease, earnest of the kingdom's bliss." So that's pointing out in Ephesians 1:14, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So that word earnest, which is like that down payment or that what God has given us, pointing us again, this meal is a pointing of a future event that's occurring in all of us, which would be the glorification process when we sit down with our Lord and eat this meal in the new heaven and new earth, which is an amazing thing to think about. And Bonar is very rooted in Scripture throughout this hymn and pointing us toward that moment.
And when we sing it this coming Sunday, the choir is actually going to sing it as an anthem. Part of the commission was that we would sing, we would commission a hymn and an anthem, which is what we did with Saints of Zion. Dr. Wyatt, who was the music director, when he commissioned that, they commissioned again a hymn and an accompanying anthem, which is basically kind of an elaboration on the hymn for choir. In this case, it's going to be for brass, organ, and for choir. And you'll hear in the anthem most of the tune, but because it's an anthem as well, there needs to be a little bit more of a change in terms of there's a secondary theme, musical theme that comes in, and he sets that musical theme at the third stanza where it says only bread and only wine. The rest of the hymn always starts with the preposition for the bread and for the wine, for the pledge that seals him mine, for the words of love divine, we give thee thanks, O Lord, for the body and the blood, for the more than angels' food, etc. So it makes sense then for him to introduce new musical material when actually the text
changes
a little bit. So the anthem setting is really quite stunning, and I think the hymn is quite beautiful as well, and will really grow on people. So we'll do this anthem to introduce it to our congregation this Sunday, and then at our next communion service, morning communion, which is in November. I guess what I envision us doing is you have to consider, how do you teach and instruct? Part of it is doing it podcasts like this, and but also during the course of the service itself. So the choir will sing one verse before the passing of the bread, another verse before the passing of the wine, and then we'll probably sing it as a closing hymn, the final two stanzas as a response or congregational hymn. And hopefully after doing that, you know, three times, it'll be in our
heads.
In
our hearts the first time.
Yeah.
Preparation for worship, one of the things that we've talked about on this program, it's preparation for worship, not just showing up. What are the hymns we're going to sing today? Oh, I forgot. And then, oh, they just called them out. But actually preparing yourself spiritually.
That seems to be a harder and harder thing for people to do. We're incredibly busy. I remember having conversations with Sinclair about this, but he'd often say things like, my Saturday is very different from most people's Saturdays. And part of that was really the preparation for worship. I think for him it was preparing the sermon, working on the sermon, but also preparing the night before and also preparing in the morning for worship. That commitment to really understanding what we're doing, that we're actually coming into the Lord's presence. And we're coming with all of our sin. We're coming with all of our sorrows, with our distractions. But the more I think we are intentional about coming into worship and preparing, not just coming into expecting to be fed, which we are, and which is a great blessing of worship, but also coming into worship to offer, to worship, to give of ourselves in singing and in praise, in praying, that when we say the Lord's Prayer for the 6,000th time on a Sunday, that we're actually saying it as though it's the first time we've ever said it.
Great points. And again, worship is not a spectator sport. It's neither spectator nor sport. So we should come in prepared to worship Almighty God. Looking forward, Dan, to singing this great hymn.
Thank you, Brad.
We give thee thanks, O Lord, as we join together on an upcoming Sunday and hear this. We look forward to singing it together, to worshiping together. And thanks again for joining us today on the Hymns Podcast.